Okay, the fourth shir in Derech Hashem. It's Wednesday. Aleph LeParshas Kisavo. Tzav Elul, September 6th, and we're starting Perek Beis, Section 1, Perek 2, first paragraph. So the first paragraph was about Hashem and different things about Hashem, the nature of Hashem, so to speak, attributes Hashem has, what we believe, what we have to work out, what we have to be convinced is true. And if you recall, we talked to some of the actual practical ramifications. That's all, and idea and answer, of course, the ramifications that ensue from it. We'll start at Beis. He really starts to get practical, even though everything's practical, in Terek Gimel, Terek Dalet, when he starts talking about mankind and life and ends. Perek Beis is B'tachlis Sabriya, the purpose of it all. What does Hashem want to accomplish creating the world? Purpose. Ines Habriya Hayalahitam Bitubi Yisbarach Shmolu Zulaso. So we talked last time that it's not really a reason. We can't really talk about the reason Hashem did anything. We talked about why, but certainly we can talk about what is the purpose. What is Hashem? Now that Hashem decided to create a universe, what is the goal? Something is supposed to happen. It's not just to have an amusement park, but it's to accomplish something. So what did Hashem want to accomplish? That's not necessarily the same as saying the reason he did it, as we talked about last time. We can't reason, but what the purpose? What is the accomplishment? What is we all about? What is supposed to happen? What purpose is supposed to be filled? V'nei it's Kali Yivarach Shmo. Slaves on me, the Meshulah only call a Cheshronos. We talk about Hashem is perfect with a Chlua, and it's not even Hashem. We can't imagine to us something that's perfect just means it's better than something that has more flaws, and that has less flaws, so it's more perfect, it's more whole. But Hashem is Shleimus Amiti, and Shleimus Acher Kamo Klal, can't think of anything else to it. And we can't even imagine it, really. That's why I'm going so quickly, because we can't wrap our heads around it. But then, we as human beings like that are not perfect, are not whole. But then, such called Shleimus perfection. Baruch Shemo, Inayenenu Shleimus Amiti. Shleimus. It's a borrowed term. Even so, you say, oh, I made a perfect circle. So it's not perfect. But we don't understand why not. What's wrong with the circle? Any perfection is only a borrowed term. Sometimes perfection, but Erech, comparing it to Ian Chasser Mimenu, something that has more flaws, Achashlemus Behechlet, objective flawlessness, objective no chink whatsoever, Enu Elishlemusi is Barashmo. So what is he saying this for? Because of the next paragraph. He's getting to a point. So the purpose of the Bria, the first sentence was to bestow good upon others. The sentence that he says either here or in Das Tunos is that the nature of something good, something really good, something super good, something as good as you can imagine, flawlessly good, will want to bestow that goodness to someone or something else. The Teva HaTov Ulehetiv is the way it's put. Something good, part of being good is wanting to share the goodness, wanting to bestow that goodness. Someone else should be good also, should share in that good. Like saying someone really wants to share his money with someone else. That's the way the sentence would run. Baal came, therefore, B'yos Chetzi Yisbarach Shmo Ulehetiv Luzulso. Hashem, that's the first sentence. The purpose is that Hashem is bestowing goodness. Lo yaspek lo biyos umeitiv kitzas tov. Hashem has to give the perfect goodness, or as perfect as it's possible, if you're not Hashem. It won't do to something that's sort of good, a shtickle good, a little good, mostly good, 99% good. it's going to be 99% because it's not Hashem. Hashem is Echad. Only Hashem is Hashem. So Hashem wants to bestow perfect and wholesome goodness. He's not made of Ketzas. We'll see the ramification of this. It has very real consequences. And we also make the tachlis hatol the most good she'efshel lebruim she'yikav. Now we don't know, because to us good is to be able to pay the bills and have a little money left over to go on vacation and to buy my favorite food every day. That's, we have very human gashmiyustik ideas of tov. He's talking about if you take all the pleasures of the world and wrap them up into one moment, that would not compare to the pleasure of Olam Haba. It's just we can't relate to it. It's like trying to describe the pleasures of something that tastes good to someone who has no taste buds. So we don't have the word, doesn't have the kalim to understand it. Trying to describe the beauty of sunset to someone who's been blind since birth. That's what it's like, trying to really fathom pleasures. But we didn't get a talk. Oh, yeah, I'm jumping ahead. Pleasures, there's some ultimate ecstasy and pleasure because it's Hashem. And Hashem wants to be native. Hashem wants to share his goodness with others. So halfway measures won't do. Hashem doesn't do anything halfway. Hashem is perfect. It has to be in the most perfect pleasure that the recipient is able to receive, being that the recipient is, so it can't be the ultimate good, but it has to come as close as possible to absorbing the ultimate good. Will be also make the tachlis atov she'eshul lebrum she'ikabul. Will be also ulevavi is baruch shmo habiti. Hashem is good. And Sharim, he doesn't talk about good. He talks about the word he uses in the Silas Yisharim is pleasure. Adam lo nivra elohim, to bask in the pleasure of being united with Hashem. It's synonymous. What he means by good is something very, very pleasurable. That's good. In Dasa, she uses the Vassil Shisharm for the word one, pleasure. So here he says, that's Shisharm, the beginning, is Adam Lonivra El Hanagal Hashem. Here saying, to Adam yet, it will turn out, that Adam is Hashem's goodness. And Vassil Shisharm uses the word Lihis Anak, to take pleasure, but it's interchangeable. It's synonymous. We're talking about a goodness of just basking in goodness. We don't have words for it. Say it's like trying to describe taste to someone who has no taste buds. Something tastes great. You don't understand. It just tastes great. I don't know what you're talking about. But you stop it. But so this is from Chal. So Hashem is perfect, and everything you know is flawless. He wants to bestow good on someone has to be the ultimate good. The most ecstatic good that it's possible to be, yet the recipient is not Hashem, so that he can't be objectively totally good. We also ulevadi yisbar shatov amiti lo yistapik chetzu hatov lo biyoso mahanu batova hu atzmo shmo mitzar atzmo shu hatova sholim amiti. What is that? What did he just say? He just said Hashem is perfect and tov, perfect, flawless, complete, whole. The tov that he would bestow on someone else is for that person, again, we don't really have words, to bond with Hashem, to become, to merge with Hashem, to be part of Hashem's goodness. Hashem has the ultimate goodness. So if he wants to give me the ultimate goodness that I'm capable of absorbing, he would create a system where I can be, where I become one with him. And you always have to add the phrase, to the degree that that something he created is possible. So it will never be the ultimate, but the degree to which it's possible for me to be part of Hashem's goodness, part of merge with Hashem. I think we like the word, this is dveikus. We call it in Hebrew dveikus. Hasidus Yisrael talk about dveikus. The Torah talks about dveikus. This world, our sense of dveikus is to feel Hashem's presence, to be aware of Hashem's presence, to bond with Hashem, to always feel that he's part of everything you do, that he's right there, he's looking at you, he's controlling your life, your his presence, you know that he is there for you. We don't have any other bonding we can think of as really physical. So that's the bonding with Hashem, and that's only in Olam HaZeh. In Olam HaBo, where there's a neshama, as we'll see later, so the neshama starts off what we call Chilek Eloka Mimal, comes from the very highest place in the Bria. So the ultimate good is for to have a Bria, to have a creation that could be part of Hashem's goodness, to merge with Hashem, to bond with Hashem as much as possible. Thus, I'm not groping for words, because it's thus sharing in Hashem's goodness. Right? We say, we don't have words to describe it. If you're a millionaire and you want me to be, let's say, not the ultimate goodness is to be rich, which we know it's not, of course, but let's make believe it is for a moment. So you say, okay, so if I want to be as good as I could possibly be, I will make you a shutas in $1 million. I won't give you $900,000, because I could do better than that. You're a shutas in $1 million. Now you also have $1 million. You're part of it. Part of Hashem's goodness. The Inei Mitzaracher paragraph, the next paragraph says, he can't impart his flawless whole goodness, W-O-H-W-H-O-L-E, his whole goodness to someone else, because he's Hashem. It's after she must say the bow. But as much as possible. Al Kengozer Chachmoso Shemetzio Sahatovo Hamitas Hazos, how can he bestow the ultimate good on this, on the creation, on something he creates? They'll be able to be dovek Hashem. They'll be able to, in the physical sense, we know what dveikus is. I think the Gemara compares it to two sticky dates that you stick together and they become like one date. You don't know where one date stops and the other date. Well, the Gemara's marshal is a sticky date and you put them together and you don't know where one stops and the other one starts. So that would be how Hashem would share his goodness, would bestow his goodness, where you could be dovek Hashem. And it's just words to us because our minds can't capture it. But we have a way of being dovek Hashem. You'll say Lamata is also a way in this world, because it's a mitzvah of Botidbar, but we don't really know what it means. We just know that the Rambam compares it to a lovesick person, someone who's always thinking about Hashem, someone who's always aware of Hashem, someone who feels that Hashem is walking with him, right next to him, encouraging him, doing for him, being part of his life. That's a mental dveikus in this world. And then Lamala, there's some sort of spiritual dveikus with the neshama. It's some sort of, in some ways, I don't want to, merges with Hashem, bonds with Hashem. That's the word we use, even though we don't know it. Our minds do not fathom what it means. But that's the ultimate goodness. We'll always throw in that phrase. The degree to which it's possible. We're getting to a point, though, a practical point. ואז נמצא שמה שמצר עצמו מיישר שיסורו בשלימוס, בשלימוס יסבר שמו. So even though it's impossible for a created being to have the shleimus like Hashem, because Hashem Echad, and only Hashem is perfectly shalem, but just mitzad hisdapkabo, because they created a system in which they could be mizdapek to him, where they could bond with him, so it's not the same because it's not inherent. It's only because they're bonding with Hashem. And Hashem is objectively, inherently perfect and whole and good. And we just share in that because we're bonding with Him. But that's as close as you can come. Yagi Elohim, but also Ashir She'efshar, to the degree possible, Litor B'Shleimus Ahu, Yitzhah Yosef B'Zdapkin Bo Yizbarak Shemo, the Yimtzu through that, Nehenim B'Tovah Ho'amikus Ahi, they will have pleasure. Again, good and pleasure is synonymous. In this world, it's not synonymous. Something could be good for me, spinach, broccoli, good for me, but I don't have really pleasure in eating it. My body does, but I don't feel the pleasure. And something, the Sfarim talk about something that's good in the sense of being morally good, correct. The Swami talk about three kinds of goodness in this world. It's split. We're living in an imperfect world. So you have something that's good, meaning it's correct, it's morally good, it's values, it has values, that's good. Something that gives pleasure, and something that's beneficial. And it doesn't always find itself in one thing. As I said, we split it up. Something can be beneficial to me, I think, you know, it seems beneficial, but it's not a good thing to do. Something can be pleasurable, but not good. Something can be good, not pleasurable, not beneficial, right? We usually have to do the best we can. But in Lamala and Hashem, it's all the same. That's why the Ramchal interchanges the words tov and oneg, and moil means beneficial. Everything is all, because it's perfect. So everybody's waiting for the world where broccoli is going to taste good, right? Everybody's just waiting for that world. So it all comes together, because there's no Hashem Echad, it's all one unity. The Nimtza, bottom line, the end of the first paragraph of Perek Beis in section 1. The Nimtza Yos Kavanosi Yisbarach Shmo Babriya Shabara Livro Mishiyya Nenem Betuba Yisbarach Shmo but also Hadera Shesha Shiyanipo. Bottom line, Hashem's purpose in the Bria is to be made div, which will be something enormously, ecstatically pleasurable, to bestow that goodness on something else. He's skipping over the Kabbalistic difficulty of Hashem creating something besides himself, because he is everything. That's not for this Sefer, Derech Hashem. That's for others for him to deal with. How does that happen? How does Hashem create something that's not him, if he's everything? But he doesn't deal with that yet. Just like he didn't deal with, in Perek Aleph, he didn't deal with proofs of Hashem's existence. He just said, this is what we have with Kabbalah. I think we can prove it. Let's move on. That's what he said in Perek Aleph. Here he's saying Hashem created things that could, in order to bestow goodness upon them. And so Zisharim, he calls it pleasure. It's all the same thing. And the ultimate pleasure, which is to be part of him, to bond with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Like this purpose, where does he get it from? Is it also handed down like a Kabbalah, or I mean, where does it come from, this idea of purpose?
Where did Ramchal get it from?
Yeah, like, he just says it, but where did he derive it from, or how does he know it?
My hesitation is I don't want to give you the cheap answer that we have that for Kabbalah as well, because I don't believe he says that. In Perek Aleph, he said that everything about Hashem we have a Kabbalah, the nature of his oneness, and that he is perfect. And he doesn't say that in Perek Beis. You know, when I was dating my wife many, many, many years ago, so I would tell her things. And she would say, "How do you know? How do you know? I can't believe I'm married." I'm like, "What do you mean, how do I know? How do I know?" And then I started thinking, how do I know? I didn't make it up. And the answer is, we're learning, we're eating the fruits of the Ramchal's immersion in Torah, in Kabbalah, in Migla, in Nistar, in all Chelkei Torah, of Torah, the revealed Torah, the hidden Torah. And that's how he knows. If I, like, if I was talking to men, excuse me, and I would say, like, so there's the sugya of the Gemara, I'm sorry, I learn a piece of Chumash, and I say Rashi, and Rashi seems to be difficult. And I have the Teretz. And he said, but how do you know the Teretz is true? That's how Torah was given to us. It's a rational system. And if we're far from it, so to us it looks like he's just shooting arrows in the air, you know. But if when you learn, Torah's rational. There's nothing irrational in Torah. Rational even to the human mind. And you figure things out when you learn. That's the nature of Torah. That's what you get chokhmah. Things are revealed to you when you learn. If I were to ask you how the Tanya knew all the things he said, well, okay, you might say he got it from the Mizrisha Magid, and the Mizrisha Magid got it from the Baal Shem Tov. But, you know, it's not like that. On the contrary, Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu all the things, what does the Gemara say? Hashem revealed to Moshe at Har Sinai all the things that a Talmud Chacham would figure out. The beauty of Torah is that when you immerse yourself in it and you learn it, and you don't learn it superficially, but you delve into it and you're single-minded about it, and you sit and you learn, and you, what we call Harava in Yiddish, and you immerse yourself in Torah, you become a Talmud Chacham, which means you figure out Torah. And whoever hasn't done it, sorry ladies, I mean, but that is the greatest, then you start feeling what pleasure is. When you figure out a Gemara, so you say, how do you know? Because I figured it out. Because that's what it means, I am gave Torah. You know what? That's the best answer. That's what it means, Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah, and he gave it to us to learn, and to figure out, and to think about. So obviously for the system to work, we have to be able to figure it out. Lo b'shamayim hi, right? You know, lo b'shamayim hi. Hashem gave us Torah to figure out. So we had to give us, so it might be a 10,000 piece puzzle, 10 billion piece puzzle, but we have the ability to put it together and to figure out what piece goes where and what it all means. You have to be a Ramchal to say, yeah, but come on, why Hashem created the world? That's like, yeah, well, if you're a Ramchal, you know, I'm happy if I can figure out, you know, if I remember what letter comes after Kuf, I'm happy. But the Ramchal learned the Grah, right? You know, there were people in our history, and even if I narrow it down to Nigla, just, and I talk about, you might as well ask me how Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote the Tshuva. How did he know the answer? How did he know? How did the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach know to be Mechadesh that it's mutter to do so and so? If so, how did he know? When you learn and you become a Ben Torah and you merge with the Torah and you know it and you learn it and you concentrate on it, you figure things out. And I'm telling you, that's what it means Hashem gave us the Torah. It doesn't mean he we went to the library and, you know, and we're reading a book. That's how secular people learn Torah. They read it and they say, oh, now we understand Torah. Nobody reads Torah and understands it. Hashem gave it to us to figure out. And the corollary is that he gave us the ability to figure it out. Well, he gave us the ability to figure it out. He gave Torah the ability to unlock its secrets to us if we immerse ourselves in its learning.
And he gave
rules. Now go tell my wife that. That's how I know.
Right?
How do you know?
And he gave rules about what are the permitted ways to.
Yes, absolutely correct. He also told us the limitations of what we can and can't figure out. Can and can't say. Can and can't be machadish. The saving grace for me and my wife is because her father did the same thing. And I say, you never ask your father how he knows. Yeah.
In light of what you just said, I don't understand this first statement. Sefer HaChinuch clearly says there's no way we can understand why Hashem created the world.
I said on Sunday that HaChinuch doesn't say that, I don't think. HaChinuch says, well, I said on Sunday that the Ramchal is probably agrees to that. Of course, if you would say, I explained on Sunday that he can't mean literally, it doesn't mean the reason he did it. And I said, even logically, if we would talk about the reason Hashem did anything, then that means he was compelled to do it because of the reason. But Hashem precedes any reason, he's not compelled to do anything. That's the nature of Hashem. He's not compelled to do anything. And if you say he did something for a reason, then the reason is kadmo. We say Hashem is the first cause. But if the reason why he did something, then that reason has to come before him, which is, can't be. So the reason, this is Nefesh HaChayim speaks this hour, Chaim Volozhin. The reason is unknowable, and we say Hashem wanted to do it. And we don't know why. Or in Lubavitch, they say he wanted to have a Dira B'tachtonim. That's their sense. But they say Rotzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Dira B'tachtonim. He wanted. You know, and you can't ask the question, why do you like vanilla ice cream more than chocolate ice cream? I don't know why. That's what I want. But we can discern plan and purpose in what he's doing. So even though I feel forced to say this, even though the Ramchal's sentence seems to be why, well, he doesn't really say why. He says the purpose of the Bria. Now that he's doing it, that's the purpose. He didn't say that his reason for doing it is to have this purpose. Because the obvious kasha is, does that mean Hashem had to do it? Which is, by definition, not possible. Hashem didn't and doesn't have to do anything. So we must say that the Ramchal is talking about the next level. What was his purpose? What did he want to accomplish by doing it? He did a rational thing, so to speak. He did something for a purpose. He didn't do it arbitrarily. The reason he did it is because he wanted to. Because if you don't say that, that would mean he had to do it, which means that the concept precedes Hashem's will, which is an impossibility. Okay, so did I answer your question? Have we known? That's how we knew, because he sat and learned, and he learned all his Torah. And the Gros said he would go, he would travel. If the Ramchal would have still been alive, he died right before the Gros burst onto the scene. He said if he would be alive, he would go by foot to Italy to study under him, and everything was revealed to him. He had a malach coming to him revealing secrets of Torah, and that's how he knew. And it's an experience that the experience that men have, you know, when they learn. Maybe women do too. I don't know if women learn with in that way. But you get a Gemara, a Tosfos, with a Rashba, and you experience figuring something out. And let's say that's the definition as Hashem gave us the Torah, and lo b'shamayim hi, that Hashem demanded that we figure it out with our seichel, and that's why you have things in the Torah that's like Achrei Rabin Lahatzel, so the Chinuch explains it in lo b'shamayim hi, and if the Leo Anavi would come down and tell us the halacha, we wouldn't listen to him. If Hashem wants us to, and that's how we merge with him down here, really. That's how we merge. That's another way of being Dovek Hashem, is to learn Torah. I didn't say that way. I talked about thinking about Hashem, being aware of Hashem, living with Hashem. Awareness, the Sheish Mitzvah Smidiyas are ways to always bond with Hashem, because you're supposed to always have that in the background of your life, that Hashem exists, and Hashem is a Chol, and that is Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and Hashem Achol, and Yilachol Him Acherim. And, okay. Ulam. So you like my answer?
No, I want
to ask you. See, how do you know? How do you know that that's the right answer? The Ulam Gozra Chachmaso. Now comes a very famous concept, and which is that Hashem, it wouldn't be, so Hashem wants to be native, but as good as it could get. As good as it can get, says the Ramchal, a very famous concept, can't be a freebie. If someone gives you a handout that you didn't earn, the goodness is flawed. This is true on a down-to-earth level, the Gemara says, when you create something, you work on something, you earn something. It doesn't have to be created, but you earn it. You deserve it. You did something that gives it. If you get a bike for a present, it's not as gishmak as if you go and you work and you saved up your earnings and you saved over 2.5 months and you bought a bike with the money you earned. But the Ramchal goes deeper than that. You know, I just told you something that could be a psychological point. Ramchal says, if you want to bond with Hashem, you want to be like Hashem as much as you can be. Hashem didn't get a handout from anyone else. Hashem is inherently good. I can't be inherently good, because I'm only what Hashem bestows upon me. Hashem created me. But the closest I can be to be independently good is for me to create my goodness, which is only with Bechira. Only with Bechira. If Hashem would have created us all in Gan Eden, so you say, what in the world, Olam Abba, Hashem wants to bestow His goodness upon other things, He claps His hands, and whoopee, there's Olam Abba, there's Gan Eden, Olam Abba, and everything's perfect. So no, that would not be good, because that would be a handout, a freebie, and that wouldn't be as good as it can get. And the premise is that Hashem, since Hashem is perfect, He wants to do perfect tov, and that's far, or even if it's not far, that's imperfect tov. The perfect tov is if He allows me to create my own goodness, that's as close as I can come to be inherently good, because I created it. I was mechadesh it. I earned it. Ulam gozer chachmaso shalios tov shalem, for the goodness to be whole, whole, ro'oi, it's appropriate, sheyia hanenebo, this is beautiful words, ba'al hatovahu, He owns the tov. The closest you can get to being like Hashem, who's inherently, objectively good, is for me to be the master of my toes. I created my being toes. That's the fear. I have a choice to do this or to do that, to earn it. So Hashem created the world. Now we're moving closer to the world we live in. Hashem created the fear. Hashem said, you're going to earn your toes. then you're going to have the real, the ultimate toll, because it's not going to be the ultimate toll if I just give you a handout. Perush, mishayitna ha-tov bi'atzmo, I created it, I earned it. V'lo mishayislava lo ha-tov v'derech mikra, not someone that just picked it up, let's say, Birusha, or found, stumbled upon a treasure. V'tira, and you should realize, she said, nikra ketsasas damus, that's, to a degree, being like Hashem, b'shir she'efsher, as possible, El Shlei Musa Yisbarach Shemo. Kinei Hu Yisbarach Shemo Sholim Ba'atzmo. Hashem is inherently good. Lo B'mikre. It's not happenstance. It's not like there was a handout, a freebie. Hashem is good. So closest I could be to being, having good, is to earn it. Not that someone just gives it to me, that is more chitzoni. It's not who I am. It's not me. It's not inherently me. Someone gave me a handout. Because of the nature, the truth of Hashem, the nature of Hashem, ultimately that can't be in something else, because no one else objectively exists even. Everything else is just a figment of Hashem's imagination. Everything else is dependent on whatever Hashem decides to bestow. If Hashem would withdraw his will from any of this, poof, everything would disappear. Shia mitosu buchrachas lo hashlemus maderes b'menu hachasronos. Achle hezdamos uzem b'mitzas, to be a little like Hashem, to the degree that we can. Sora shalafachos, at least, yehu hakone shlemus. I earned it. Hashem created a system, and that system is kabbalistically and theologically really impossible. Just like I said, creation of something else other than Hashem is something the Ramchal does not delve into in Derech Hashem, but it's a pella how anything could exist other than Hashem. This also, Hashem had to create a system where the Tov created the possibility of Ra. The Tov Hashlemus for Amiti, the perfect being created something imperfect. It's mind-boggling. It doesn't bother us because we don't know what it means. Don't bother me, not. I don't know. I don't know. What do I mean? Okay. But it really is. If I would know what I'm talking about, it would be impossible to say. How does a perfect being create something imperfect? And we don't, that's a Kabbalistic answer. Because they actually describe how he did it. It's like he withdrew within himself, and stuff. That's the real Kabbalah. That's nice. But he did it. He did it in order to bestow the perfect goodness to us. Because he wants to give us as good as it could get, he devised the system where the perfect being created something imperfect so that we could earn, so that we could be good, because we earned it. I am good, I chose to do good. That's the chiddush of the system. But that means I have the ability to go against the will of Hashem, which is what's bad. And like that means the perfect being created imperfect things in order for the ultimate good to burst forth. Now, if someone would have told me, you could say the opposite. You could say, Hashem was mated as much as he could, but he couldn't be mated so much where you earn your good, because that would mean that he would have had to create an imperfect being, and that's impossible. Right? You could flip it around. But that's not the way it is. It's the other way. That's the world we see. Where because he wanted to bestow the ultimate good, he created an imperfect world, an imperfect Bria, imperfect beings, so that they can create their own goodness. So that way they will be the most possible to be like Hashem. And that will, in turn, earn them the most possible good because their ability to bond with Hashem will be that much greater and that much more true, because they will be sort of like Hashem, because they are inherently good, as much as a being could be inherently good, because they earned the goodness. It wasn't just given to them, which is much less inherent than something I did because I worked on it and I created it, so to speak. Now everything is only because Hashem enabled me to do it. So of course it doesn't come close to Hashem's goodness.
Can I have
but
a question?
Yeah.
I've always thought it's us that limits the goodness that Hashem can give to us. That His goodness is 100%, whatever you want to call it. But we, in our own limitations, we're limiting what we can do.
Well, that's the system He devised. That for us to be mizdabek in Him, for us to have dveikus,
right,
we have to be totaled to the degree that we go through our lives. Really, this is what he discussed in the next two program, but the degree to which I am told by the end of my life, that's the degree to which I bond with him. Now, he didn't limit, I can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? I can be the ultimate total. I can be the tzaddik that never sinned, like the seven people that never sinned, right? So, that's up to me, because Hashem, because the ultimate good would require that I created the goodness. So he's ready to give us the world, but he's not going to give us a freebie, because that would be a flaw in the goodness. He wants us to have the ultimate good, even though it seems to us, you say, Hashem, what would you do that for? Why couldn't you just give me a little less good but a freebie? That's one thing. But we only say that because we don't.
We don't
understand what we're talking about. We're like children. So like if your kid says to you, you want to open a trust in a bank for me and put in $1 million, I'll take the toy truck, please. You say, well, and that's what we are. If we would say that, that's what we would be saying. We're children. We don't know what a trust fund of $1 million means. So we say, give me the toy truck. So when we say, Hashem, couldn't you just give me a freebie and a little less goodness? That's all they say. But when we get to Olam Haba, will be so thrilled and will be like, oh, thank you, Hashem, for devising this system, because now I have $1 million. Like, what do I want a toy truck for? Okay. Wait a second. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was someone else's. Okay.
Would you say this effort to achieve shleimus would, in other words, would be like tikkun, making tikkun in the world?
No, it is making tikkun in the world, but definitely. But that's not. That happens as a byproduct. She thinks that's the purpose of creation. So this is what Masul Shisharim says in Perek Aleph, that when a person grows and steigs and becomes close to Hashem, he raises the level of the whole Bria to also become more spiritual and more bonded with Hashem. Tikkun of the Bria, that's a byproduct of, because the goal is a person, because the person is the only one with Bechira. But everything in the world is a tool for the person to use. It might be a tool because that's what tests it. So that might be the way it's a tool. So the answer is it's tikkun, but the Ramchal does not say that's the purpose. It's a byproduct, since the whole world is the tool that a person uses to get his own perfection. But again, it's not, I want to talk about this next time because it sounds very esoteric, but it really means that, in a sense, when I go through life and I do as many mitzvahs as I can, it's really, so in one sense it seems a little selfish. Like, I want to get all my ball, I don't want to go to Gehenna. So, but the Ramchal is helpful because you're helping Hashem, you're a shutuf with Hashem to accomplishing the purpose of creation. In other words, my Olam Haba and my being good and my bonding with Hashem and Olam Haba is not a selfish idea. I do it selfishly, which is a bit of a problem. How am I going to do it selfishly, right? But it really is. I'm helping Hashem. This is the purpose of the world, so I'm doing the purpose of the world. It really is beyond me. I might, you know, it's selfish on one hand. On the other hand, it's Hashem's purpose in creating the world. So that's a wonderful thing to do. Okay.
If anybody can stay at one book for someone to get to the quote.